Welcome back. May 30th, 2025, the year of our baseball lord. And we are back. It is Jesse with Deferred Collusion, joined as always by Brandon Bullinger. It's a World Series rematch, Brandon. Dodgers versus Yankees. The Yankees are in town. First time since the World Series last year. But first off, Brandon Bullinger, how are you? Nice little tunes. I like that little ethereal sound you're playing for me right now.
Thank you, brother Jesse. We are working on an official title track for Deferred Collusion, your favorite podcast. And with you, as always, your favorite host, dude, Jesse the Julian Casablancas Rowe. Oh, my God. Shouts out to PETA. We're looking out for animals out here. Yep. And I just want to give some love to the missus, dude. I got some cookies. I've had three already while we're getting today's episode together for you, the valued viewer. You deserve nothing but the best, baby. And you know what? Since you do, why don't you do yourself a favor and hit that like, subscribe button. Mm-hmm. Hit us with a comment. Tell us what you're into. We love to hear from you. But thanks for joining us again, as always. Jess, the Yanks are in town, baby. Are you as excited as I am? People are running onto the field in Anaheim trying to get a little piece of that Yankee magic, dude. But it's a good old-fashioned slobber knocker.
Yeah.
We do got some bad news, huh?
Yeah, we do have some bad news. You know, it's funny when Yankees would come into town, it was always fun. It was always like this thing where it so rarely happened. The Dodgers would play the Yankees. It was always this this big special event. And now, you know, you play every team each year. So it's not as it's not as special as it used to be. Obviously the World Series was very special, but still it's exciting to have them in town and to have the rematch. But we're going to get to that. Because we do have to cover...
Can I just say something to that?
Yeah, yeah.
Just about, teams playing each other. I think it's, I get fired up about it, to be honest with you. I like that it's every year. I know what you mean, because there could be, a three-year gap sometimes when you might, play a team, and they kind of just seem over there in the AL Central or some shit. Far away, nowhere, fucking... Where even is Ohio, dude? It's kind of exciting. Yeah. I like seeing all those road unis, you know what I mean? I like seeing my guys in all the different stadiums, big league stadiums, that is. I can deal without the minor league.
God bless you.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Either way, there is some news going into this series that we're going to, that's kind of unfortunate, but we'll just sort of do a quick little recap because we didn't have time this week to do it. Dodgers losing 2 of 3 from the Mets and then winning 2 of 3 from the Guardians, having a 600 road trip. Overall, pretty frustrating series with the Guardians, more so than it was against the Mets, only because it did feel like the Dodgers should have swept that series. I made a video reacting to Tanner Scott blowing the lead in the eighth inning of game 3, which the Dodgers were up 4-1 in the seventh and up 4-2 in the eighth. And Dodger fans have been piling on Tanner Scott what seems like the past few days, because of this is his third blown save in his last 5 appearances, so definitely on a little bit of a bad run here. But I maintain that I do think he got a little bit unlucky in that outing. There was a ground ball to Muncy that took a weird hop, ate him up. It forced him to fall over. Otherwise, I do think they turn a double play on that ball. It ends up them getting no outs. And then, obviously, the wheels came off. And then, he blows a save. Vessia comes in, gives up the 3-run homer, and the rest is history. But are you on the Tanner Scott panic button bandwagon right now? Or are you concerned with what you've seen from him recently?
I'm worried, for sure. I'm not panicked just yet. If you kind of look at the stats, if you back up a little bit, his career, he's been off to a slow start. I don't know, about 3 blown saves in 5 attempts, so that is alarming. But
9 earned runs in 4 2/3 innings, by the way.
And I think the reason why your average Dodger fan is very concerned is that we saw him in the playoffs miss a lot of bats, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like that has been the key component that's been missing. He's been giving up hard contact, what feels like all season.
Yep.
I know that the numbers were a bit better than they are right now at a 4.6 ERA. Really blew up there. You know, but like you've heard, like you've seen, like you've experienced, the Dodgers pen is just taxed. Too many injuries, obviously. Bullpen has been just fired too many times. In too short of a span. I don't know what else to say. Latest victim to that bad news train, Evan Phillips, officially going to get Tommy John's, ending his 2025 series, 2025 season, rather. Making a corresponding move, the Dodgers make a trade for Alexi Diaz, with the Cincinnati Reds, who was actually not even on the big league roster at this time. But it seems like they got a game plan. You know, I'm getting, I don't know, like Brandon Morrow vibes, Jess. What do you think?
I mean, fuck, if it's 2017 Brandon Morrow vibes, sure, I'll absolutely take that. I mean, we definitely, like, I wanted to point out, when the Dodgers made the move for Alexis Diaz, it felt like a move that was either, it was either reacting to Tanner Scott's struggles, or something was wrong with one of the guys that we currently had on the IL. And then literally a couple hours later, we saw the Dodgers transfer Evan Phillips over to the 60-day IL, which was pretty alarming. You thought, oh shit, yeah. Okay, that's telling us everything we need to know about this deal. It's definitely a low risk, potentially high reward move to get him, because he Alexis Diaz was an all-star in previous seasons for the Reds. He was actually in the minor leagues this year. The Reds had optioned him. He'd been sort of struggling, but this is just clearly out of necessity for the Dodgers, just to add you know, a fresh bullpen arm that can eat some high leverage moments for this team in any way that they can find, because they are clearly running out of bullets at an alarming rate at a very early time in the season. And, you know, with Tanner Scott in particular, you'd have to, I'd have to imagine, like, he will turn it around. He's going to be much better by the end of the season, I do believe, because he was actually pretty good leading up until, you know, three or four, five appearances ago. He was actually on a pretty nice little run.
Yeah, having a decent, very well.
Yeah, he was around like a low twos ERA. He was actually pitching pretty well, and it just ballooned over the past few outings, and that's really sort of made his season look terrible, and that's where all the frustration has come from Dodger fans. But I do think that this course will right itself. The ship will right itself. But yeah, they're gonna need some extended outings from the starting pitching ASAP, because it's you can't expect this to be sustained for a long period of time, and we're not even a quarter of the way through the season yet. You know,
yeah, guys,
right,
like
we're only we're only barely a third of the way through the season. So
guys like Michael Kopech should be returning pretty soon. And I think is it Emmett Sheehan pretty close to coming back?
Sheehan
as well?
Pitched a few. Two scoreless innings, I think, in his rehab start. He's probably a few rehab starts away from coming back, but he looked good in his start.
Yeah, but back to Tanner. I suggest that he has to shave his beard, needs to grow that hair out. Something's got to change. There's bad juju afoot. Like we correctly deduced on the last episode, Michael Conforto has somehow cursed himself by continuing to have an old Instagram profile picture of him wearing a Giants uniform. Hey, at least we addressed it. He hits a home run. Maybe, you know, ball's in his court. Let's get the good juju flowing.
Right.
That said, with Tanner, it almost looks like you can see him searching for it on the mound. I don't know if it's a feel thing. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I don't know if it's just maybe he's tired right now and he's not used to, I don't know, being trotted out so often with the Marlins, you know, and, you know, I know he's with the Padres, but
he is paid like a guy who should be trotted out, which I think
definitely
is
right.
How the Dodgers have been using him. And this is just a classic point as to why Andrew Friedman has been so hesitant to give out those big contracts to multi-year contracts to relievers, because you just can't expect really, you just don't know what to expect. These guys are relievers for a reason, I guess is the way to put it. Mm-hmm. They, you know, there's no you expect a certain level of production when you give a contract to a guy like Gerrit Cole or to a guy like Yoshinobu Yamamoto. When you give it to a reliever, a guy
To be fair, Josh Reddick couldn't believe that you would give a guy $325 million who never threw a pitch in the MLB.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Josh Reddick for just staying relevant on just bad takes, being a cheater, bum haircuts. Sorry, Jess.
Yeah. I did see Doug McCain gave a funny take on that, where he said that take is aging like 7-Eleven sushi in the sun or something like that. That was pretty fun. But yeah, so I still expect Tanner Scott to figure it out. But yeah, this is why you just don't give these contracts to big time relievers, because they're relievers for a reason. I do think he'll figure it out. He'll get there. But yeah, Jesse, the unfortunate news here is it really is about Evan Phillips getting the Tommy John. That really fucking sucks, and especially with him not pitching in the World Series last year. He will not be pitching the playoffs this year for the Dodgers. And,
such a weapon to lose, man. He's been just absolutely a dog for the Dodgers.
The best Dodgers reliever over the past 3 or 4 years, in my opinion. Yeah. Him and Blake Treinen, obviously, are the two best relievers.
Blake has been ridiculous.
Yeah. So, second best reliever of the Dodgers over the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Since becoming a Dodger, his ERA in 21 was a 3.48, in 22 a 1.14, 23 a 2.05, last year 3.62. I mean, you know, zero ERA this season, only in 7 games, 1 save. But yeah, man, he's I love watching him pitch. He's such an unassuming guy. He reminds me of like Ross Stripling in that way, right? Like a guy that you think is just, hey, that guy's pretty big for a, you know, tax agent or fucking accountant. Like, oh, no, he's a fucking closer for the Dodgers. That's fucking insane.
Yeah. I mean, he was a total blessing in disguise. Like, Diamond in the Rough came out of nowhere for the Dodgers. Did not expect him to be much for them. I would actually compare him more to Ben Kasparias in a way. Or I would compare Ben Kasparias to Evan Phillips.
I like that.
Did not expect much of Evan Phillips when the Dodgers started pitching him. And then he became one of their most important bullpen weapons. And now you see that Ben Kasparias has sort of filled in that role a little bit this year, even though he's probably doing a little bit more long relief than Phillips ever did.
Definitely.
I still think that like the Dodgers have found a really, really, really important bullpen weapon with Ben Kasparias. And, it's a compliment to compare him to Evan Phillips, because Phillips has just been a marvel for the Dodgers. And I do wish him a speedy recovery. And Tommy John, at this point in his career, you know, you'd hope that that he can recover. But that's going to be tough. That's going to be a tough road for him.
Hey, but Evan's a dog.
Yeah.
We're rooting for you, big guy. I know Tanner's your boy, and I know, you know, maybe this has shook him a little bit. Maybe, you know, like we were talking about with Glass now, maybe Tanner, we don't know him too well, right? He's new to the team. Maybe he's a feel guy like Glass now, and if something isn't feeling great, it cascades, screws with his confidence. Jesse, you'll notice that he didn't speak to the press. I've heard different people have mixed feelings about that. One of my good buddies, big old Dodger guy, but kind of felt like Scott should sit there and face it. He's like, hey, man, Kershaw, the fucking, you know, Mount Rushmore captain of this team with superstars everywhere, you know, the Babe Ruth of our generation. Shohei Ohtani is only second on the team in terms of, you know, pull to this guy, Kersh. I mean, he would. So I don't know. It's just this. I don't know.
No, I don't know
what to do for Tanner. Do you just start putting him in lower leverage situations?
Well, I think that's what the Dodgers were kind of doing against the Guardians, because he came in the seventh. I mean, he was the Dodgers closer over the past, like, you know, five or six weeks to start the year. And then he comes in and he's going in the seventh. He wasn't there to finish the game, clearly.
Yeah.
So I do think that the Dodgers were kind of trying to give him a reprieve from the closer role. And then this happened. I'm going to attribute, I do think that ball took a bad hop on Muncy, which I do think would have been a double play had he been able to field it normally. And we might not be talking about this right now. So I'm just going to assume that Scott will figure it out. I don't think that there's any reason to, like, hate the guy this early in the season when the Dodgers are in first place. And, you know, up until five appearances ago, he was actually pretty good. So let's...
Do you think there's a little bit of that is on Dave for setting him out that second inning in Cleveland after getting the out in the first? Or is it like you said, hey, man, you're getting paid the big bucks. You should be getting out there. And like my buddy was saying, you know, like, hey, Kershaw would have been out there in front of the media kind of eating it up. Like, you owe us a little explanation. We're paying you. Like, are you in that camp that you think Tanner Scott kind of like owes us after like wearing it like that as fans to kind of just tell us what the hell's going on, especially as a new guy to the team? Or do you think fans need to just back off a little bit and like, hey, let's let him right the ship?
No, I do think that if Tanner Scott gets paid like an elite closer, then you have to be used like an elite closer. Sure. And that's just that's fine. Like, how could you possibly argue with that logic? But I do think, sure. Like, I think you could make an argument that Dave has been tinkering and experimenting a little bit. And maybe, you know, he always makes mistakes. It happens for every manager every year. But like, the fact of the matter is Dodgers pitchers need to go longer in games. Like, Kershaw in this game only went five innings. You know, they're stringing a rotation by committee here. Dustin May, who's actually been very good, he's barely ever pitching past the fifth, sixth inning anymore. So, and he's like their most reliable starter outside of Yoshinobu Yamamoto right now, you know? So
crazy.
That's he's just where the two. Dodgers are at. And, you know, who would have thought to start the year, like, how important Dustin May would be to this team at this point? So,
or Landon Knack.
Rather, yeah. You know? And like, this team's going to look so different in 2 months that we just have to hope that we can right the ship in that time, stay afloat, and, you know, just keep winning, because it doesn't look like Snell and Glasnow are coming back anytime soon, but time will tell. But we did see Tanner Scott's son, Shohei Ohtani, got in his own bullpen session while in Queens at Shea Stadium. Or City Field, sorry. And, dude, I thought this bullpen session was like, it was like must-see television. the whole team is behind the dugout. Kike is, like, just fully locked in. And Shohei just looked nasty. I mean, his splitter was dancing all over the place. His cutter looked good. His fastball looked good. Apparently, he was sitting, like, low to mid-90s. And, you know, that's just an awesome sign. Just what was your takeaway when you saw him pitch? I do think that the pitching angle too that we saw at Chase at Citi Field really helps just make him look so much nastier.
You know what I thought when I saw Shohei pitching was, I was like, fuck yeah, excuse me for cursing, but I was so fired up that I was like, I gotta find the equivalent of like, hey, bada, 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 swing, bada, in Japanese, because I just want to do that while Shohei's warming up on the backfield. Just, hey, just give him a little chirp. Just let him know we're all there with him. But, no, it got me fired up. It feels like nature's healing itself, and, like, we're getting back to where we want to be. Jess, you'll remember this time last year, we were just mired in injury, just skies falling. Almost like the 2025 Boston Red Sox. It's just crazy what injuries just do to your season. It's just ravaging.
Now, it opens the debate here, because the Dodgers obviously want Shohei to pitch, and he will pitch. But do you – I've seen this sort of floated around. Being where the Dodgers are at with pitching injuries, where they're at with their bullpen – are you open to the idea of Shohei being a reliever for this season? Because that seems to be one of the talking points out there, that Shohei Ohtani could actually be a Dodgers high leverage reliever, perhaps even a closer this year.
Short answer: it gets so much lead in my pencil. I'm so fired up, dude.
So you're on the Shohei bullpen train.
Short answer, that gets me right there. Taking a closer look at it, it's kind of like, what do I find more valuable, right? Like Shohei pitching a little bit, or his bat. Like, if this affects his bat, I don't know that I need it. He's already on pace to, you know, he's already broken like every Dodger offensive record. I think he's the first Dodger ever with 20 home runs and 10 stolen bags in the first 50 games of a season.
He's on pace for another 50-50 season right now.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he throws on a 3.5 ERA out of the pen in, like, you know, 46 innings or something, including playoffs, like, yeah, I think that's probably, like, one of the best seasons ever. But I don't know. I don't know if it's more valuable to just kind of wait it out and try and make him a starter. I honestly don't know, because, like, hey, is the pen the best spot if you can get, like, 5 innings out of him? But to your point, man, the pen is faltering right now because starters can only go 5.
Yeah. So I actually think that it makes – I would love to see Shohei in a relief role. I think that there's a chance we're going to see that one day, to be honest, like, totally possible. Yeah. But I think
it one day, but I'm just for this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know. For now, the investment that you've made, Shohei, last time we saw him as a starting pitcher was like this dude. He was pitching into the 7th inning consistently. This dude was so, so good as a starting pitcher. And, you know, obviously the Dodgers need him to be a good starting pitcher. They need that length. But also, I also think it would just be better for him to be a starting pitcher just for the sake of his routine, because I think it might upset his routine to never to not know, like, what days he's coming in to pitch. You know, he's going to be a reliever at any given moment. I just think it's better. It's better if he can keep things on a schedule for himself.
Totally. I think, though, if he did become a reliever, it would be in a very specific role, like already discussed, like, hey, here's the part of the lineup we want you to hit. You know, whether that's the 7th, 8th, 9th, this is the situation we want you for. I could see that. Right. But again, this is kind of further out after I think he makes a few appearances, whether that's, you know, as a opener, maybe going like 2-3 innings. Because Jess, like, here's the thing we haven't even touched on. There's like, there's no way he's going to go on a rehab assignment.
Right.
You know, you can't pull him out of this lineup, not in this, you know, highly contested NL West.
No.
Which, by the way, Jesse, fun little factoid for you today. The NL West is the leadingest division in all of baseball in pitchers' injuries. I believe there is something like 17 starting pitchers in the NL West on the injured list right now, and 13 relief pitchers. And God, it feels like all of them are Dodgers.
That's what I was about to say. I actually feel like, just based on how many injuries we see the Dodgers have, I almost feel like that number's a little low. Right. Across the division, because the Dodgers probably have like 50% of them, you know?
Jesse, they are starting to call the NL West the graveyard of arms, dude. It's where all pitchers go to die, dude. Like the elephant graveyards, you know?
Yeah. Well, either way, Dodgers will get Shohei. Shohei's going to pitch this year, and it's going to be as a starting pitcher, but Shohei closing out a playoff game does sound pretty fucking dope.
Pretty dope. Jess, our boy Kirsch started the other day.
Yeah.
Got lit up a little bit, gave up a run in the first, settled down, though, and got 5 crucial innings. I know we've been complaining about the Dodgers starters not making it into the 6th or later, but every inning counts right now, and for King Kirsch to give us 5 was huge.
There was like 5 balls hit off of him that had like 100+ mile an hour exit velocity, like in the first inning and a 2/3 or something. Mm-hmm. And then he really settled down and pitched pretty well. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like he was, we were texting through a little bit. I was on the job site, so I was only listening to the game on the radio, but did watch highlights afterwards. He did start working in that splitter effectively.
He threw a lot of them. He threw a lot of splitters. Yeah.
I'm like, that is your boy just hanging with Yosh, hanging with Shohei, just working on that split. And I'm like, dude, call me crazy, but I see the like patchwork of something special.
Yeah.
I know the peripherals are still pretty bad, but I think that we could be looking at Kershaw, you know, going into his, like, I don't know, maybe his like 7th or 8th or so game and snapping out a gem. I could really see him kind of figuring this out, even with the diminished velocity, sitting at like 89, 90. I think he can still get that slider working, because we really haven't seen the slider working. This was another start
where the slider looked
flat.
It was flat.
And I think he's just got to kind of find it again. And look, dude, this is a guy that hasn't pitched in a year and a half, oh, 2 years basically, you know, since 23 postseason. You right. know? It's midway through, or, you know, a third of the way through 25. I think there is some good innings, some quality innings still in that arm. And I'm, dude, call me crazy, but I'm calling it now. There's going to be a big shift in his, I don't know, arsenal in the next few starts. And I think it's going to all start with that slider finally clicking and then working that splitter off of that slider. And I think it's going to be a new look. It's going to give him a new swing and miss pitch, which is just crucial. And that's another out pitch on a ball that's moving differently than the slider. And
yeah,
we know what happened the last time Kershaw added a pitch to his arsenal. He became a first ballot Hall of Famer with that slider. So yeah, this splitter, I think, could be the start of something special, Jess. And that's my fucking blue collar take of the day.
I love that. I like the idea of, because I've been saying for a long time that Kershaw, the only thing that he missed in his arsenal was a changeup of some kind. He would throw it occasionally, but to have that change of direction, but also especially with diminished velocity, it's going to be so important that that's an effective pitch, because if you don't have that sharp cutting slider anymore that you used to have,
yeah,
then your curveball is less effective, your fastball is less effective, and then you're more hittable. So the changeup is going to be very important. He probably throws it like 10% of the time, you know, 8% of the time, which is fine. And I like it. I'm into it. I just want to see him throw more innings. I don't need Kershaw to be a 2.53 ERA guy. He could be closer to 4 if he has to be. Just give some innings, pitch close around 6 innings to start, and I think that he's going to be great.
Jesse, Kershaw, and, you know, what's happening, you know, is happening to all great pitchers, you know, all great ball players. They get older. Kershaw used to be a chainsaw, right? He had the velocity. He had the hard breaking stuff. He had that big looping curve. He could challenge you and beat you. Now he's a handsaw. You know, hey, it still works. You just got to keep the blade sharp, you know, keep those teeth filed in. And I think that's what we're seeing right now, is he's filing those teeth on the blade. And yeah, it's not going to have that, it's not going to have that fire that it used to have, but it's going to get the job done, and it's going to get it done well.
Yep.
And you can quote me on that, dude. Deferred collusion, ball miller.
Wow. Wow. Strong, strong ending to that. Let's get to the meat and potatoes here, Brando, because the Yankees are back in town, rematch for the 2024 World Series. Dodgers, Yankees, game one is tonight. You'll probably see this episode in the middle of game one. Max Fried versus Tony Gonsolin. A little bit of bad news before this series starts. We just found out that Mookie Betts will not be in the lineup tonight. He is getting some imaging done. He's getting x-rays from a stubbed toe.
Brutal.
And we're going to hope for the best, but it's a little scary, because whenever x-rays are involved, that suggests that there's some... There's some pain where you don't want it to be. And
that is the kind of journalism that you, the valued viewer, get here and nowhere else, a deferred collusion. Yeah.
You just have to hope it's not a broken toe.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
My king. Go off, dude.
Thanks, baby. But either way, Max Fried, this dude's been he's definitely been like the best pitcher in the American League, arguably best in baseball, 1.29 ERA, 7-0. He's been awesome against Tony. He's going up against Tony Gonsolin. What are you expecting from tonight's matchup here, Matt Brando?
Dude, you're not going to believe it, but I'm looking for a Catman dude to keep filing those blades on the saw.
Okay.
Honestly, I think Gonsolin has showed some flashes of like greatness still. He's still got some swing and miss. Hasn't quite put it all together in a full start yet. Has given up a couple hard hit balls on some I don't know, just maybe stuff not coming out of the hand right, maybe just bad location. Hard to tell when a guy's still so fresh off of a TJ. Or was it TJ that Gonsolin had, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Dude, so many guys with TJ or shoulder or, like, you know, impingements. I don't even know. But I've been a Max Fried guy for a long time now, and it's just kind of no surprise to me that he is the best pitcher in the AL right now. Maybe the best pitcher in baseball in 2025. Jess, would you say that ERA is 1.29?
Yeah.
Sub one whip. It's just, I don't know. He's great. Such a great signing by the Yanks. He's a full-blown ace. You know?
Parried them. I thought losing Gerrit Cole was like a death sentence for them. They've clearly been the best team in the AL East, maybe the American League entirely. And a big part of it is him. He has been unbelievable this year.
The AL East has been just a complete disappointment this season. It is a dog shit division that nobody wants to win. The Blue Jays, after everything gave them credit for signing Santander and Vladdy, $500 million. They're a 500 team.
Yeah.
The Red Sox, hey, we got Bregman, but we're not going to spend anymore. Rafi, you put your glove away. Now play here. We're blowing knees out. It's been a dog shit season for the Red Sox.
They even went out and traded for and extended their Cy Young candidate, Garrett Crochet, and he's been great. And they're still like no better than they were last year.
Dude, we didn't even talk about Walker getting thrown out of that game last week.
Yeah.
For that just terrible strike.
Well, I think there's some residual stuff because Lindor was barking at him a little bit in that game. And then Walker tweeted about him after the game, I believe.
You know what I love about that, dude?
There's some residual World Series playoff stuff from last year going on because remember Walker struck out Francisco Lindor in the NLCS, and then he was calling him a motherfucker as he walked off the field. So I think that there's still some residual beef there.
One thing that is fun about players you love going to different teams is it's almost like a character from a show you like getting their own spinoff. It's like, oh, dude, I forgot Walker is in Boston now.
Or it's like an expanded cinematic universe. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whoa! Right. BCU, I like that. That's the baseball expanded universe, whatever.
It's like when like Falcon becomes Captain America. You know what I mean? Like they change characters. They're in different movies.
Did you see Thunderbolts?
I didn't.
I did not either. I'm not a nerd, dude. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I fell off the Marvel bandwagon.
I heard it was good. My wife and I almost saw it. We went and saw Sinners instead, which was dynamite.
I heard that was good. I've been meaning to go see it. Yeah.
It's worth going and seeing it in the theater, honestly. That's what I heard. I think. But anyways, that's not what we're talking about, you cinephile, dude.
Yeah,
Get together, dude.
We could do movie reviews. I'm fine with that.
Dude, I don't watch movies much anymore.
Yeah, I was watching, last night, reality. We were watching the Bravo Summer House reunion. I'm not as much of a cinephile as I used to be, Brandon.
We were watching Up last night with my daughter, and I kind of got emotional within the opening.
It's a pretty emotional opener. Yeah.
Well, you know, I got a kid now and I'm thinking about my own mortality. I'm getting older. Like, God, what if I lose my wife, dude? Like, I can't afford a house in this economy.
I know.
And I just got to watch some baseball, dude. Like, crash out.
You know what I did watch was pretty fun is Nathan Fielder's new show. Rehearsal. Fucking incredible. If you haven't seen it, watch it. But also The Studio on Apple Plus was kind of
fun. That's great. Yeah,
it's kind of fun. So that's what I've been watching lately.
Yeah, but you know what I'll be watching tonight, dude? Game one, our Doyers versus Yanks. Jace. Oh my gosh, I just called you Jace, but I meant to call you Jess. Jess, there's a little bit of, do I say drama before this game? Aaron Judge, I guess, had a little comment about some of the Dodgers' supposed shit-talking after the World Series.
So Yeah, so it's a lot of it seems like it's tied to two players. It seems like it's tied to Chris Taylor's comments and to Joe Kelly's comments after the World Series against the Yankees. Judge didn't really say anything all that controversial here, but he did kind of like take a veiled shot at the source of the trash talking that was coming from the Dodgers after the World Series, because he Judge was basically pointing out that it wasn't any of like the big elite names in the Dodgers that were trashing the Yankees. It was guys like Chris Taylor and Joe Kelly, who neither one of those guys are even on the team anymore. So this is what Aaron Judge said. He responded to the Chris Taylor shitting down your leg comment that we've all come to grow in love at this point. He said, "He said you're really not trying to look much into it. I feel like they're big time players that played every day or played in the games. They didn't really say too much. It was a lot of the guys who really didn't do much. So I didn't pay too much attention to it. They can say what they want." And then he says, "When it comes down to it, we didn't win. If you win, you can say what you want. We didn't win. We kind of just got to take it on the chin and prepare yourself for next season." So I think
I got a take on that.
Yeah, he handled it well, but he definitely had a little veiled shot at
some
of the Dodgers players. What you got?
I think that it was as pillowy soft of a shot back at Taylor and Kelly and Honeywell or whoever else that, you know, he's kind of dogging. Because as long as we're not talking about that drop ball in center field, who gives a shit? Hey, we lost, all right? We all lost, okay?
Right.
We all lost. It wasn't that drop ball, all right? It wasn't me not able to hit until game five, you know?
Yeah, well, the first three games, I mean, he was absolutely brutal, and it probably cost them those three games how bad he was, to be perfectly honest.
I agree with you, dude.
Yeah.
However, you don't get there without Judge. And, how's he doing this year, Jess?
Everybody who wants to talk shit about him and his World Series performance, you cannot deny that this guy is probably the closest thing to Barry Bonds that we've had since Barry Bonds. He is unreal this season. He's chasing 400 to start the year. He's hitting 391. He has 18 homers, 47 RBIs. He's got a 1.227 OPS. He's on pace for another 50-plus homer, 120 RBI season, and he's hitting in the high – he's hitting barely under 400, dude.
It's
this
crazy.
This guy is the greatest offensive force in baseball, and I say that knowing that Shohei Ohtani exists. He's incredible. He's absolutely incredible, and he definitely makes the rest of the Yankees lineup better. Because I was not expecting this to happen. I mean, you look at like what Goldschmidt is doing this year. You look at what Trent Grisham is doing this year. This is the Aaron Judge effect, man. I'm sorry. Those guys are not doing what they're doing without him. Belly's looking good. Yeah. This team, in my eyes, does not have as good of a lineup as the way that they have been performing to start this season. So that's just a credit to Aaron Judge.
No, he's fantastic. Yeah, slugging 739, 488 on base percentage, 54 strikeouts, 38 walks, 47 ribbies, 18 homers, 2 triples, 14 doubles, 81 total hits. That's just crazy, dude. It's just crazy. That's fucking, it's the end of May. Yeah. It's the end of May.
No,
Shohei's got 20 home runs. What am I talking about? That's
yeah, cool. Shohei became the first to hit 20, and I believe Judge has done it as the first to hit 20, like either two or three of the last five seasons. Shohei's this is the first time he's the first to 20 in his career. But who do you think ends up with more home runs? That's a fun exercise. Who hits more home runs this year, Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani?
I think Aaron Judge. I think that short porch in Yankee Stadium is just such a cheat code, and not to mention we're talking about Shohei will be pitching, and I think that's going to inevitably impact his offense. But Jess, you just hit me with a question, so let me fire one right back at you. Who do you think gets to 30 strikeouts first this season, Kershaw or Ohtani?
Kershaw, easily.
team shit. I just wanted to make sure you were down with it, dude.
Yeah. But to get back to Judge really quick. God damn it, I was just about to say something. And I've completely fucking... No, I'm blanking now. What the fuck, Brandon? I had something to say, and then you had your Kershaw question. God damn it.
Was it about game two? Landon Mack versus Will Warren?
No. I don't even remember. I don't remember what it was. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Is it about Ben Kasparius and the Ben Kasparius club that you're in?
No. But I do have my Ben Kasparius fan club thing right up here.
I love that.
I don't know if you can actually see it on the...
I can. That's why I brought it up. I actually just noticed it a little bit ago. Oh, look at that. You got the whole... I thought it just said Kasparius Club. That's all I can see on my end.
But, this is... I don't know what sort of barometer this is for the Dodgers early in the year, but... Oh, this is what it was. I'm sorry. So Ron Washington walked Aaron Judge twice in the Angel series.
Yeah, I saw that.
And... it was sort of like rising like a debate about whether or not this is good or bad for baseball. A lot of the people saying it was bad for baseball, coincidentally, just happened to be Yankee fans, which makes a lot of sense. Do you see that as something that is bad for baseball, or do you see that as something that actually just makes Judge's legend like grow even more?
I don't think it's bad for baseball because I think anything that makes it bigger is fun.
Yeah.
But I think it just adds to that Judgian legacy. But I mean, Jess, just to add on top of that, do you think that his legacy is just kind of, I don't know, tainted without a world? I don't want to say tainted because he's such a stud. But there's just people that will always dog him for not having that ring. We know with Kershaw all too well.
Well, obviously it happens for any player where no matter how great you are, if you don't win a World Series, you're always going to be limited by it. But I do think more than anything, it will be for Yankee fans. I mean, like, he's never going to be bigger than Derek Jeter in the Bronx if if he doesn't win multiple championships, no matter how great his stats are. And also being a guy that kind of got a late start in his career. I mean, he didn't really become like a big time player until his like late 20s, now he's in his like almost mid 30s and he's a big guy. It's possible that his career isn't going to have the longevity of other careers of like all time greats. So he's not going to hit 600 or 700 home runs, even though you know that he could have had he gotten an earlier start. So, I think more so he just needs to win one for this era of Yankees baseball to really solidify himself as like a true Yankee all-time great. Because I don't think that there's any doubt that like he's arguably, in terms of talent, like one of the best. And this is an outfield with Mickey Mantle. Was Lou Gehrig a first baseman? I forget. But yeah, like one of the best outfielders the Yankees have ever had, if not like a top two outfielder the Yankees have ever
had. And they had Ichiro.
Well, yeah, right. For legend, Yankee legend, Ichiro Suzuki. And you put him on like a quarter. I know a lot of people are doing their like MLB quarter century teams. He's arguably the best right fielder of the last 25 years. So, I just think they need to win one, but it's not going to happen because the Dodgers exist, Brandon. Unfortunately for them, Yankees.
And Trent Grissom. How do you say his name? Trent Grisham?
Grisham, yeah.
Oh, no, he's a curse, dude. It sucks. He's cursed. Yeah.
Oh, he's gonna unravel it for them at some point. He's had such a good season.
It's like, insane. He has such a good year this year. It's annoying.
No, he's like an all-star. I saw like an MLB Network guy doing like an all-star, AL all-star list, and he had like Trent Grisham as a starting all-star. The second baseman on the White Sox, Chase something, I forget his name. The AL like all-star lineup potentially sucks this year, by the way. It's hard to look at it. Like who's their first baseman? Is it Vladdy? Is it Torkelson?
Goldschmidt.
Goldschmidt, like a 40-year-old Paul Goldschmidt.
I don't know. It's got to be Torkelson, dude. That's my guy, Spencey.
I think it's going to be Goldschmidt, though, because he's hitting like 340 or something. So
yeah, but he doesn't have the – what are their – what's his OPS, dude? Look up Torkelson's. I'll look at Goldschmidt's.
Yeah. Torkelson's is 864.
Whoa, fuck. Goldschmidt's is 899.
Okay, so yeah, Goldschmidt is probably the starting first baseman. And then your, White Sox second baseman. I saw the MLB Network guy was saying that their second baseman was
Miguel Vargas.
No, although Miguel Vargas has been playing pretty well, dude. He's been actually playing pretty well from what I've seen. He's like, I guess he made like a little adjustment. That has really paid off. Who's this fucking second baseman I'm thinking of? But yeah, either way, it just seems like the American League is so far behind the National League right now in terms of talent. Yeah. But you know, we shall see. Sorry, we're not really sticking the landing with this ending here, brother.
No, it's all good, Jess. Real quick before we start wrapping it up, I did just
Chase Meidroth is his name, by the way.
Chase, we love you, Chase.
Yeah.
Just as it stands, real quick. The American League East, dude. The Yankees have the biggest lead in baseball right now. It's 6.5 games. They're 35-20. The Rays are 29-27. Blue Jays are .500 at 28-28. The Sox are at 27-31. And the dog shit Orioles are 20-36. American League Central, Tigers. 37-20. They are 6 games up of the Guardians, 30-25. Twins, 30-25. Royals, 30-27. The Royals are one of the more disappointing teams this year, dude. I really was hoping to see them, like, kind of grab the division. But, damn, dude, them Tigers are for real. Just like the White Sox are for real dog shit at 18-39.
Yeah.
And then the American League West, dude, I got to start at the bottom because my pick for the American League West winner, 23-34, the Nobody Athletics. The Angels, after that super hot win streak, are still 25-30. Rangers, 27-30. Strohs, 30-26. And the first place Mariners by half game, 30-25. Jess, hit me with them National League standings, daddy-o.
I think you were just trying to be edgy with that Athletics pick, bro. I don't know what you were thinking. You were just trying to be like, oh, if I get this right, everybody's going to call me a genius kind of move. It was low risk.
Can I tell you what I really felt and why I picked them? Is that I thought that it was going to be like, I don't know, like the Sandlot, and they were going to have some home field advantage. They would get to know Sutter Health home.
It's been the opposite.
Yeah, no, it's and that's on me. Egg on my face as a ball knower. You got to know when to fold them. And
yeah,
that was me. That was me.
9-19 at that fucking stadium, and now they're already talking about how like A's players are sick of it already. So not a good start for the non Oakland Athletics era. National League. Currently with the best record in baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies are 36-21, but the New York Mets are right on their tails, one game back, 35-22. The Braves are 26-29, 9 games back. Nationals are 26-30. Nationals have some good players, dude. I know that they don't have a great record,
but
like
Soto trade, dude.
That Soto trade is looking pretty good for them right now.
It's one of the best trades of this century.
Yeah.
Dude. I'm not kidding.
Dude, C.J. Abrams has been so, so good this year. He's one of the best shortstops in baseball. And James Wood is a true superstar, like a true superstar. Dude. And when you consider how Mackenzie Gore is like leading the league in strikeouts right now.
That's what I was about to say, dude. Mackenzie Gore is leading the league in strikeouts.
So this is a ridiculous haul for Juan Soto that the Nationals are reaping the rewards of. I think they're going to be really good in the next couple of years. And then the Miami Marlins are dog shit. They're 12.5 games back. Leading the NL Central, the Chicago Cubs are 35-22, followed by the surprising St. Louis Cardinals, 2.5 games back at 32-24. Milwaukee Brewers, 30-28. Cincinnati Reds are .500 club. And then the Pittsburgh Pirates are bringing up the rear. And then we move up to the National League West. Of course, your Los Angeles Dodgers are 34-22. They're two games up on the Padres at 31-23. Then followed by the Giants, who have dropped a little bit to 31-25. And then Arizona just can't seem to close the deal this year. They are 27-29. And then the Colorado Rockies are just barely trailing. They are keeping it competitive at 25 games back, 9-47. They have a -175 run differential. They are on pace for the worst run differential in the history of baseball. So, yeah, that's where we are. That is where we're at. They're on a pace for a -525 run differential. -500 runs.
If that's not enough to get you to start drinking, I don't know what is. I mean, dude, these guys are just hyper competitive, and to have to eat it like that is tough. And I think that ownership should be forced to make a like really tough look in the mirror and go, hey, the way we run this business isn't working. We don't put a competitive product on the field.
They are 3-25 on the road, dude.
Is that
3-25?
So I thought I misheard you.
I feel like a college team could be better than that. Like, I'm serious. I feel like a college team could be better than that.
Dude, give the Toledo Mudhens a call, dude. Let's get them up here. Let's see how they do.
Get the Savannah Bananas up here. It'd be better.
Hey, at least they'll sell some tickets.
Yep. And that's a crazy thing. There's no incentive for the Rockies to get any better. They actually, I think the Yankees were in town, and they were selling like 40,000 seats during that series. They're still selling tickets. That's a terrible sign to send your ownership group if you're a fan base. Like, you have to boycott this ownership group, because otherwise they're just going to keep fucking pinching pennies if you keep buying tickets.
They're going to keep getting away with this. You can't let them get away with this.
But Yankees-Dodgers rematch starts right now, so I'm sure you guys are watching as you watch this. Yama goes in Game 3. It might be against Rodon. We're not sure. It'll either be Rodon or it'll be former Dodger Ryan Yarbrough. So that'll be kind of fun. But
he did have a fun little quote, Jess. Yarbrough was asked about what's he going to do when he gets his ring, and he said that he's going to hide it from the Yankees players as quick as he can. Because he'll be getting it this weekend, you know, as a visiting player. So shouts out to Ryan Yarbrough, World Series champion, and shouts out to my guy, large fry, Jesse the Julian Casablancas, Roe, Crespi Zone. Look at the little rookie of the year, dude. Whoa!
By the way,
not movement.
I found this card. It's a Nolan Ryan autographed card, and I had to like actually look up if it was like a real Nolan Ryan autograph. Turns out it is.
Whoa!
Just so happens that I have it. So I don't know if it's worth any money, but it's
very cool.
It's very fucking cool. But
yeah, man, that's super rad. Well, that's the kind of daily surprises you can expect from Deferred Collusion.
I'm gonna sell it.
Favorite space to enjoy a little baseball talk. You know, it's like you're in the break room. You're just talking with a couple buds. We love you. We love hearing from you. Please hit us in the comments. Send it to your friends. Like us. Subscribe to us. Do all that stuff. It helps tremendously. Jess, you got anything to add, brother?
Nothing. My voice is going. I'm going to go gargle some tea and honey right now. Nice. So I apologize for all the coughing.
Fuck yeah, I'm cracking into these cookies. I've been such a good guy about them, dude.
Are those special cookies, Brandon?
They're not, but there is dark chocolate chips, a little bit of sea salt on top, and potato chips inside. What?
Yummy.
Dude, Ruffles. We got ridges. Go Dodgers.
Brandon, you gotta play us out, buddy.
Oh, no, I'm not prepared, dude. Give me a memento, baby. Yeah. I should have had that ready, and boy, did I
not. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Go Dodgers. And always like, comment, subscribe, and share with your friends. And yeah, we just nailed this ending, Brandon. Perfect ending.
We are consummate professionals. Boy, did we just ramble on.
We're really rambling. I don't know when to end it.
Keep it going, dude.
Three. I'm
trying to get some ad revenue, dude.
Two,
wait, what?
One.
Wait, we're not monetized yet? Yeah. Oh, that sucks.